some of the lesser being past 95. The education comes from past 95. Can you repeat it? Now, 583, thank you for that.
Bow with me, please. Our dear, most wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, very thankful for the time that you blessed us with, that we might come together as brethren to learn more from your word, to attempt to better ourselves through the teaching that you've provided for us and the inspiration of your scriptures. Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you provide for us, for the safety that you've given us in the past days as with the different weather. Lord, we thank you for all of those you've cared for of our number here especially. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you continue to be with us as we go through this short worship service, that we might be able to hear from the lesson and to learn more about your word and your will for us. Lord, we ask that you help us to relieve us of our burdens, that we might be able to lighten our own loads and to focus for teaching others and to be able to help each other with bearing one another's burdens. Lord, we ask that you help us in everything that we do and grant us wisdom. And Lord, we ask that you continue to keep us safe and And we pray that the service that we offer to do is pleasing to you, is pleasing in your sight. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 24. We'll start reading in verse 29. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. We're going to stop there. I want to focus in there on that, on verse 31. Just the fact that Israel served the Lord all the days of not only Joshua, but all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord. Well, think about what made Joshua such an influential leader, such a great leader for Israel. So much so that that not only were they faithful to the Lord while Joshua was leading them, but they were faithful while the elders that outlived Joshua. They were faithful to the Lord then, because we, up to this point, Israel's history has been a little fickle, so to speak. Been very here and there. But Joshua is just a great example of what true leadership is. And there are several things we want to look at this evening about the traits that make him such a good leader. First and foremost, Joshua was humble. He started off being a servant of Moses. When the tablets were brought down, there was a time that he didn't leave the tabernacle. He was in service to the Lord, but he was in service to Moses. And that was evident to all those that were there that saw him. Even when he was exalted by God, he was still a servant to the people that he was leading. He served them well. Turn if you would earlier in the book to Joshua 5. Joshua 5, and starting there in verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Take note of how Joshua talks to this to the commander of the armies of the Lord. "How may your servant? What can I do? How can I serve you?" Even though God previous to this has told them, "I'm going to be with you." He's exalted him to Moses' position of leading Israel into the land of Canaan, and yet he still has this attitude of service. "I'm going to humble myself, even though I can, you know, God's already told me I'm going to do this. I'm still a servant to him." And he's going to show that by the example and how he leads. He was a man of faith, and he trusted in God. We see that evident in so many places throughout, but most importantly, when we see Joshua him and Caleb at their best, when they were part of the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan, they come back. 10 spies told him everything that it was. It was exactly what the Lord said, but we can't take it. You know, all these other nations, I mean, we're but grasshoppers in their eyes. And it was Joshua and Caleb that stood up and said, in Numbers, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into that land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And the next point we see that is the first city they come in to overtake, Jericho. God tells Joshua the battle plan. All right, you're going to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. Then you're going to march around the city on that seventh day, seven times. Priests are going to blow their trumpets, and we'll make the walls fall. Joshua didn't question that. It's like, hang on, don't we need something to pull these walls down? Don't we need something to weaken this or anything? He didn't question it at all. Lord told him that. He went and told the priest that. This is what we're doing. And they went and they did it. And as we sing in the song, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down because of his faithfulness. And his faithfulness led to the nation of Israel following his lead and doing the thing that he was told to do. Hebrews 11, verse 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So it's even recorded by the Hebrews writer in Hebrews 11, that chapter that talks about all the great people of faith from the Old Testament that we can read about and look back on, how they're called upon to be witnesses to us of what faithful living is. He's a man of God's word. He had a strict adherence to it. He was told to God. He was told by God to meditate on the law day and night. And we see that in Joshua 1 and verse 8. And he was faithful to that word. He was faithful to the responsibilities of that law and that word and what Moses had instructed him and what the Lord had instructed him. He did that by reminding the 2.5 tribes that were on the east side of the Jordan, hey, you have a responsibility to go with your brethren as Moses had told you. So get your stuff and let's go. In renewing the covenant at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim with the children of Israel to remind them of the blessings and the cursings and the covenant that they have, that they've made with God. It's recorded in Joshua 11, verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And even at the end of his life, he was still encouraging the people to follow God's word. Joshua 23, beginning in verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. So the Lord will bring upon you all the harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, you have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Joshua, you know, not only in his life did everything that the Lord commanded him and the Lord told him to do, but he also encouraged Israel, you need to continue doing the same thing. Joshua was a man of prayer. We see that after the defeat at Ai, that he prayed for himself and the people, that the Lord would forgive them for their trespass. and how that worked out. And even in the midst of warfare, as they are fighting with the kings of the south, he prayed that the sun and the moon would stand still and not move, that they could utterly defeat those nations to bring about that conquest to the south. And the Lord answered that prayer in the midst of that battle. He asked for that they can continue, that they could have a full victory. He was a man that put God first. He put God first before anything that was immediately at hand. We see that in the middle of the campaign, as they're taking over the land, he goes and renews the covenant, reviews that covenant with Israel, tells them what the things that they that God wants them to do, and the consequences if they don't. In the middle of coming into that campaign, starting that campaign, they take time out to do that, which gives other nations, city nations in the land, time to gather together. But even knowing that, he still put God first to make that impression upon the children of Israel. And even putting God first above others, set of verses that we know fairly well, the Joshua 24, beginning of verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua put the proper things in perspective and in priority. He put God first in his service to him. Through all this, Joshua used the best tool that a leader has, and that's his influence. He led Israel by his example, by the things that he did, how he served Israel during those times. And his influence carried on in the elders that came after him, that outlived him, that saw the mighty things that God had done through Joshua. And even at that, we know that after that generation dies out, we go into the book of Judges. We see a cycle begin where they're faithful for a little while, but the leader has some influence at that time, but not spoken of as highly as what Joshua is spoken of here, and how his influence carried over into another generation and helped that generation to remain faithful. So tonight, in thinking about leaders, there are some here that are not leaders in companies or leaders in a family, but we are leaders of ourselves. And we can start leading ourselves the way Joshua led, by having humility within ourselves, that we talked about tonight, bearing another's burden, having service, serving one another. As Jesus washed the feet of the apostles, he served them, and we can do the same. We can make sure that we are putting the proper things in first, and that is God. Knowing his word, abiding by his word, meditating on his word night and day, as Joshua was told to do. Those are influences that we can have on ourselves. That influence will carry out into others, and then we, as our influence continues to grow, we will become those leaders that people will want to come talk to and discuss things with. So tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, if you've fallen short in those things, and you need the help of the brethren to share that load, to share that burden that you may be carrying, that you may not be able to carry by yourself, make that known so that you can get help, from the brethren here with that. So tonight, if you're subject, come as we stand, as we sing.
Let us pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and understanding of how great you are, and thankfulness over the word that you've given to us and that the hope that is in it, the ability that you've given to us to come to you in prayer through your Son and bringing our problems to you, and the comfort that that gives us to know that you are in control of the world around us and that you love us and will take care of us. We ask that you help those who cannot join us, whether it be a physical or spiritual problem, that they can be able to overcome those issues and join us once again to be encouraged. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word as we go throughout the world and shine your light into everyone that we come across. We thank you for the beautiful world around us that you've given to us to show that your creation in it and the power that you hold. And we thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we could have the hope to be with you in heaven after this life. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.